2017 and the world of new music with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.
Okay, an Australian record which is coming out at the end of this week is the debut album from Melbourne duo Slum Sociable, and the two guys are going to join us to talk about the making of this record. We've got Cregan and Miller from Slum Sociable with us on Triple J right now. Welcome in, guys. How are you both?
Hey.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Cregan, I've got to start with you because we were just quickly talking because I've seen Ed in interviews and I've seen Cregan in interviews. So set us straight. What's your real name?
My real name is Edward, but Cregan is my middle name, which was my grandmother's maiden name. And yeah, I don't know, I've just started going by Cregan, and I like it, Richard, so I think it's...
It was a very unusual first name, I thought. So it's actually, it's a family name, but it's your middle name, and Edward is your first name?
That's it, yeah.
Ah, okay. All right, well, let's call you Cregan. Cregan is what you're going by. So Cregan and Miller from Slum Sociable, welcome in. This record, I want to actually talk about the making of it, but can I go back before Slum Sociable? What were you doing before then, music-wise?
We were in a band before we were Slum Sociable. We were in a four-piece band, and we made, I guess, kind of harder sort of music. And, we just kind of lost the drive to make music like that. I guess it just fizzled out.
Yeah. So, were we talking punk and hardcore?
Not that hard. it was more like, what would you call it?
I'd say like heavily influenced by bands like the Mars Volta, but yeah. I think musically just ripping off Radiohead, I think.
two decent bands to rip off, Mars Volta and Radiohead. I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think we did it too well.
Oh, okay. They're both pretty hard. I mean, the Mars Volta, especially musicianship-wise, that's a pretty hard band to follow in the footsteps of.
Yeah, that's probably why we cut it out.
Yeah.
Did the band do much? Did you record much?
Yeah, we recorded two EPs, but the second one we never even released. That's kind of when we fizzled out. Yeah, so I think those songs might be floating around somewhere online, but haven't listened to them in a long time.
Would you like to reveal the name of the band, just out of curiosity, or not?
Yeah, all right.
Sure.
Why not? We used to go by Cold Hiker, but we used to have a bunch of fake names as well. But yeah, Cold Hiker was the old band.
Fake names because you were so big, you had to play secret shows.
Yeah. To our parents. Yeah.
So when did Cold Hiker end?
2012, maybe, yeah. I think. Yeah, that was, it just kind of fizzled out, yeah. We just started doing other stuff, I think, yeah.
And so the format for Slum Sociable then, music-wise, did you have, obviously you two wanted to stay together and keep collaborating, did you have a strong idea of what sort of music you wanted to make after that band?
I just started producing music myself, I guess, to kind of have more control about how the overall sound went. And I didn't particularly think of having a vocalist on it, but then I enlisted Miller just for some tracks, just for fun. And then I guess in the blink of an eye, I'd written like six or seven tracks and really wanted to pursue that because, you know, it was a lot of fun making the tracks in the first place. And so it just kind of started from there.
It's funny because when I first heard the music of Slum Sociable, I immediately thought soundtracks. And I was thinking, you know, I bet you these guys are kind of big on soundtrack music. So it's interesting, Cregan, that you said that you wanted to kind of just do production yourself without necessarily a vocalist. Are you a big fan of soundtracks?
Yeah, I am, although I've got to admit, like, some, I guess my favourite music does have, you know, a vocalist and lyrics and stuff, but I do really enjoy, like, soundscapes, and I think, you know, the soundtrack for Requiem for a Dream is something that kind of changed my life, and more recently, There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood is by who?
Johnny Greenwood, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Another one of Johnny Greenwood's. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, making the music interesting first is something that we both kind of work on. And then once that's at a certain point, that's when we get the melody and vocals in.
The dynamic has kind of shifted as we've been like developing, I guess, ourselves as musicians. I guess like it started out that Ed would write all the music and get me to come on, and I'd just be like, "Ooh, this is hot, yeah." but recently, like especially since we finished the album, I've been doing a lot more songwriting myself, and I will like present these like bare bone versions of songs to Cregan, and we like work on the songs together now, all the music, and I still do all the lyrics and vocal melodies, but he'll tell me if something's not up to scratch. Yeah.
How does he put it? That's
very delicately.
I gotta clear this up. I've never ever delved into the lyric writing or melody writing of our tracks. Like I think I'm really lucky to be able to work with someone like Miller, who, you know, his voice is so powerful that I could pretty much put anything underneath and he can work with it. So yeah, I'm really lucky in that respect. So I'd never dip into his side of things and start telling him how to do that.
I guess it's not too hard to just like come up with melodies over the music that Cregan was like presenting me. Like all the drums and keys and stuff were just so perfectly in place. He always, like, we work on that. We make a point of that, sometimes taking instruments out. When we're recording some of the more melodic instruments, we'll just take them out just so there's more space for me to come up with stuff. So, yeah, it's a partnership in coming up with the vocal melodies as well.
Mm. I want to talk about the instrumentation in just a moment. We'll also talk a little bit more about the way that you kind of arrange your material, because I've got something interesting to play after we hear the finished version of this track. So the guys from Slum Sociable are with us on Triple J. Let's hear, this is actually the single around at the moment leading up to the release of the album. We'll come back and talk some more with the guys in a moment. But this track from Slum Sociable is called Castle. So there you go. That track is called Castle from Slum Sociable. Now, while we've got the finished version in our heads, guys, I just want to play this for people.
She only looks to me when panic needs relief. I've tried to make her feel that even when it's bleak, she's done it without me. Never get the words out. You're too proud. We know the silence cannot disagree. Doubt you tried it out. I don't know what they told you. They always tried to hold you down. Even if you say you want to leave, never work like that. You can't run away like that. Oh, oh, waves of uncertainty. A feeling that you've always had. I'll be there every time you crash. Oh, oh.
So beautiful. That's a video that you put up about a month ago, and just the two of you in a room. It's a really beautifully shot video too, but that's just wonderful. That's really powerful stuff. But is that kind of how Castle was written?
Yeah, we for Castle especially, this is one that we wrote in London, and we just had 2 days to pretty much focus on chord structure and melody, you know, and that's the result of it. I think that really shows in how easily the song is stripped back to its bare essence, yet still retains its character and quality. Mm. That, for me, at least, has always been the sign of, like, a really incredible song, you know, like a lot of those great pop songs from, I guess, the 90s, early 2000s. Mm. You can strip them down and you will still know what song that is and it'll still have a similar effect. And I think that's kind of what we really aimed to achieve with Castle.
Instrument-wise, what are you guys playing? Because I'm hearing all sorts of different sounds in these songs. What are you doing?
Richard, everything. we obviously love sampling drums, but you can't, you know, sample grooves from the 60s without getting sued. So we, for this record especially, we worked with our producer Russell Forkus at Sing Sing Studios for a couple of days, and we got our incredible drummer Ryan Beasley in to just play grooves that we'd kind of laid out for him, which I know he finds really hard to do sometimes because our instructions are impossible to understand. But all the drums are played by Ryan Beasley, but stuff like bass, guitar, all the synths and stuff that are patched in, that's all us.
I'm talking to the guys from Slum Sociable. We've got Cregan and Miller with us. Here's just another taste of some of the music that they've made. So that track you heard about a year ago from Slum Sociable called Name Call. When I heard that track, guys, I thought when eventually we get an album from Slum Sociable, I'll hear a lot more whistling. but you've disappointed me. There's no more whistling on the record.
Yeah. We apologise.
I heard that and I just thought, oh, because I love whistling in tracks when it works really well, which it does on Name Call. But you thought that was just an idea that should exist for one song only?
I think we like read something ages ago that said like whistling was just like dead. And so then we just finished making a song with whistling in it. And I guess we tried that one out and then, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to do live.
Yeah.
You've got to try not to laugh or smile. And two, you've got to have the power to get over the instrumentation to kind of get through all the mix.
Yeah, it's nearly impossible.
It's been one hell of a whistler.
Yeah. Is it Miller? Miller, is it your whistle?
Yeah, it's my whistle.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. It's a good whistle on record. So,
thank you so much. Yeah.
Now, listen, Miller, we've got to sort of touch on something which you opened up about a month ago as well online, which has in part delayed the release of this Slum Sociable album. You kind of opened up and wrote a letter and you posted it online talking about the mental health issues that you've gone through and talking about your battle with depression. Was that a big step for you to be that public about it?
Yeah, that was huge for me. That was incredibly nerve-wracking because my coping leading up to that post, like coping with dealing with mental struggles, was like to not address it at all. And so it was like such a big step to say that to so many people, not just immediate friends and family who like some of I hadn't really talked to about it at all. And so just taking that like gigantic leap, like surpassing all those people. Just to say that to so many people was beneficial, I think, in the end as well, because now I don't really have anything to hide behind. You know, it's out there and I've had like a lot of good talks to people about it since. And yeah, I think it was like a really positive thing to just like bring it up. But, you know, I just like told my side of the story and just getting that weight off my chest was massive for me. Yeah, I wouldn't have done it, I don't think, otherwise.
Why now, do you think?
I think because it was really affecting our productivity, you know, because I would just hide away. I wasn't really, I was just like down on myself. I wasn't being as productive and responsive with organizing everything to do with this album. And it was really affecting, you know, my dream, you know, to do music. I don't want to let that dream die. So it just was like a kind of a logical, very nerve-wracking logical decision to make a statement like that so that it's all out there and we can all work together on it moving forward.
And how many years have you been, you know, coping with this sort of stuff?
I guess on and off, it kind of comes in waves, but maybe since just after high school, I think, so maybe like seven years or something. Yeah, a long time. But yeah, there have been ups and downs, you know. Sometimes like I'll have a whole entire good year or something, and but then it'll all come back, you know. It's very temperamental.
The support that you must have felt from posting that message as well, how much of that sort of reassurance has made you positive about the future?
Oh, yeah, that was huge. We had, I had a lot of friends and family come, like, flooding my inbox and my messages and stuff, just hitting me up, saying, like, that they were, like, proud of me putting that up there. And, you know, and they're just, like, showing their care and saying that's okay. And we also had, like, a lot of people flooding in our Slum Sociable messages as well, just sharing their stories. Like, they just felt compelled to talk about it as well after I had. And I think that's one of the most important things about having shared it, was that it inspires other people to see that it's okay to talk about, not be ashamed of it. You know, talking about it is if you don't talk about it, then yeah, talking about it is like the first step to like getting over it, not getting over it, you know, but yeah dealing with it.
You talk about that very openly in the letter that you did write. Cregan, how much of this was a surprise to you, or did you confide in each other and kind of know the situation for Miller?
Yeah, I was always aware of the situation. So for me especially, it was great for Miller to kind of express it to, yeah, a wider audience, because, it was tough for me to kind of, I don't know, let people know what we were going through as a result of, you know, Miller's depression, which is, you know, terrible. But for me, it was a big step to see Miller, you know, dealing with it properly, I guess. And since then, it's just been a really positive environment. And I'm really proud of him for doing that.
Absolutely. Miller, how much has music helped along the way as well? Because obviously talking with people and expressing and getting the stuff out of your head is really important. What about music making? Has that been a form of therapy for you, do you think, as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, whether it's like writing the music or the lyrics, those are like two entirely different forms of therapy. I think, like, if you're fiddling with the music part of a song like that, you can kind of switch off, I guess. You know, you're working hard, you're paying attention, but, you know, you can just, it's what you love to do. So you can kind of like tune out a little bit and just focus on that. But when writing lyrics, putting down those metaphors that sometimes do like relate to mental health and things like that, once you've like put them down there, it's just like a sigh of relief. Like, they're there, they exist like that. And you get it off your chest. It's really helpful.
Mm. If any of what we've been talking about has made you think about your own mental state and wanting to talk to someone about it at the moment, I'll just let you know that the Lifeline people are really great. 13 11 14 is the number. If you want to reach out to Beyond Blue as well, you can find their number pretty easily enough too. Listen, all the best, Miller, in the future, and well done on putting that post out as well. I know, you know, from reading it, it was honestly heartfelt, but honestly a big step for you to take to be that public about it. So well done on doing that, and I'm sure a lot of people found reassurance with it. And also, Cregan, well done on this record and making the music with Miller. It's fantastic to have a full body of work from yourselves now to play on the radio, which we will over the next week leading up to the release of the record. I want to actually give people a taste of the album for the first time, a song which they've not heard, and it's called 14 Days. So before we play it, you got to tell us a little bit about this one and how it was put together.
I think that, yeah, there's acoustic guitar in this, and for us that's a big deal. And that's kind of coupled with a really great drum groove that, our drummer Ryan Beasley played for us. And when that moment kicks in with Miller's falsetto, it's really powerful. It's definitely one of my favourite moments on the record.
It's a good one. What have you got against the acoustic guitar?
Sorry, I should clarify. I don't want people coming at me. I have nothing against it, but I never thought it kind of fit alongside anything we did. And then one day I think I left my guitar at rehearsal and I was left with an acoustic and I wanted to write something, and then, yeah, it stuck, so it's cool.
It is. It's a cool moment from the record. So from the self-titled album by Slum Sociable, let's hear it. Cregan and Miller, all the best.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
I can't come home, I'm gone.
2017 and the world of new music with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.